Hello, listeners, and welcome to Business IQ Radio here on WBNH 105.1. I'm Don Byrne. I'm one of your two hosts. My other host, Andrea O'Brien, who's with the Small Business Development Center, has been delayed shortly to get in here, but we're going to proceed a little bit with the introduction of the show because we have a couple of guests here, and this is going to be, I'm sure, a very interesting show for everybody. We're going to be talking about maker spaces, places where you can go and you can have the opportunity, usually for a very small amount of money, to go in and use woodworking equipment, welding equipment, any kind of computer numerical control systems, CNC devices, 3D printers, just a wide variety of different tools and technology, and some people there to help guide you through it. And so today we're going to have two guests with us that will talk us through the whole developing effort and talk about two of the maker spaces in the state, one that's going to be opening in Concord in about a year and one that's already up and running nearby us here in Manchester. But before we get into that, I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. First, I want to take the opportunity to say goodbye officially to Rich Grogan, who is the director of the Small Business Development Center and is Andrea's manager. Dr. Grogan is going to be leaving and going up to another position over in Vermont in an economic development role, and I know he'll make a contribution, but he's been a terrific leader here for the SBDC in the state, has contributed a lot, and I especially want to thank him because he has graciously consented to have Andrea dedicate some of her time to helping out with this show. So we really want to wish Rich a very successful next stage of his career and let him know that he's going to be missed. Also, I would point you to the New Hampshire SBDC as a resource. As we talk about each week, I normally ask Andrea to fill us in and give us a sense of what's going on in and around the state. And I would just say that if you went to SBDC.com, you'll find a whole host of resources there for you, including online training and some workshops that are coming up on a regular basis, generally no cost or extremely low cost ones, and they're well done. So if you're thinking about getting into business, or you know somebody who's thinking about getting into business, either part-time or full-time or as an additional activity in to sort of augment or supplement what you're doing, please do consider this as a terrific resource that you would use. And in the same vein, I would also point you to the Small Business Administration. You can find them on the web at sba.gov. And I believe that there's a marketing workshop coming up in April that is usually very well attended. It's run in combination with the people from SCORE, which is another volunteer organization. And they will help guide you through some of the aspects of marketing your business that, if you're not familiar with or you haven't done before, might be very helpful. So with that as a general introduction, I see that my colleague has shown up, so I'm going to invite Andrea into the studio and let her then introduce our guests.
Well, we'd like to welcome our guest, Laura Miller from Making Matters, New Hampshire.
Hello, Laura.
Hello.
Up in Concord.
Right.
Or to be
up to in be Concord. In Concord, yes.
Yep. And also Steve Korzanowski.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Manchester Makerspace.
Very cool.
In downtown Manchester.
Nearby a neighbor.
Very, very cool.
Got to get you expand here into Bedford.
So, you know, we usually ask our guests a little bit about themselves, but maybe the question we should really launch with is, you know, who makes stuff anymore? Like, why would anybody want to make anything?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many reasons. Personally, I've always been a maker. My dad was a machinist, and I got the genetic makeup from him, I guess. And my mom worked in the mills in Manchester making parachutes for the soldiers during World War II. So I'm kind of proud of that tradition, and I hope to carry it on, in fact, right in the mills in Manchester.
Wow. I didn't know they made parachutes. Did you?
I did not until about 4 seconds ago.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. And so, what's your educational background, Steve?
Well, I graduated from NHTI in Concord with a mechanical engineering degree and went to work for Bell Laboratories designing microwave radios back in the 80s before there was fiber optics. And then I got an MBA because I was interested in the business part of things and spent most of my career in telecommunications.
Wow.
Got into defense for a while and got tired of the big corporate gig. So now I work for a small family-owned company in Hooksett that fabricates sheet metal.
Making custom
sheet metal parts. And so this is very complimentary to what I do for a living.
It's your passion, it sounds like.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And Laura, how about you? How did you, you know, why would anybody want to make something? What does it resonate within you?
Did you
well?
Grow up dreaming of 3D printers or something?
I actually did not. Okay. No. I come from the business world, and so I'm all about helping people start small businesses. And the vision that we have for the Makerspace in Concord is really heavily influenced by that, helping people get started with growing a small business and that exercising that creative energy.
So we've got two locations in New Hampshire for Makerspace.
Oh, there's a lot more than that.
There are several.
Tell us about the landscape for Makerspaces.
Sure. Well, the largest one is in Nashua, Make It Labs. They have about 180 or more members. And there's one in Portsmouth, Port City Makerspace. They've been very helpful, as well as Nashua's Make It Labs, been very helpful to us in getting Manchester going. There's one in Claremont that's just starting out.
Yep, just opening.
Just opening, right. I've heard of one in Keene, although I've never been there. And I'm very anxious to see you folks up in Concord get ones going.
And they all have a different flavor. They all take on the flavor of the people who are making the makerspace. And some are more art-focused, some are more industrial-focused, more robotics and engineering-focused.
Hmm.
The one in Portsmouth, I believe, is much more art-based. Then Make It Labs is a little bit more high-tech. The Claremont space is brand new, so we're not really sure what's going to happen up there. But there are small studio spaces just bursting up all over the place.
And are they affiliated with any of the business incubators in the state, do you know? It seemed to be a natural match there of linking with like...
You would think so. In New Hampshire, it doesn't appear that they have
relationship. Yeah, with such a large state, it's hard for people to get together, right? He said facetiously. Yeah.
Well, in Concord, there's actually a move to start a formal business incubator with our Chamber of Commerce and the new Economic Development Director in Concord. And we see them as being a natural marriage to have the creative energy of a small, micro enterprise grow into a traditional incubator and then really launch into the full.
Yeah, in a few weeks, we're going to have somebody from Metropolitan Community College in Omaha, Nebraska. And they're a new $8 million grant from the university and the state out there for Center for Advanced Development. And they have a large maker opportunity, but their goal is to help businesses set up production lines.
Right.
But they also offer, like, to the community, they've got one class on how to use a 3D printer to make a guitar, and I told them they need to put a sign in the front of it that says, "No Stairway to Heaven," like from the Wayne's World. So
no one watched Wayne's World but you, I think.
I think you guys are all too young to know what I'm talking about.
We don't know what Wayne's World is.
Oh, no, so we're this old is
a,
enough.
I'm old enough.
So this is a very, very exciting, and we've actually had somebody else on the show quite a while ago who was in the business of using their 3D printers and taking images of people and creating everything from the tops of wedding cakes with the actual images of the bride and groom to some of the servicemen going overseas, leaving material for their folks to, grandmothers or grandparents capturing in a voice, from their little child. So, I mean, this is a very, you guys are the precursor of the Star Trek replicators in some sense, right?
So making stuff and business tied together, right, for all the artists or micro entrepreneurs or people wondering if they might want to start a business in making something. but they don't have the equipment to do so. Is that?
Yeah, very much. In Manchester, we have things like CNC machines, milling machines, a CNC lathe.
What's a CNC?
Is computer numerically controlled machinery.
Oh.
So they're very expensive. Not everybody can have one in their basement or garage. It's usually made of heavy metal. It's got sophisticated brains. Even though the cost of 3D printers has come down, it's not necessarily true for milling machines and hardware like that. We have welding equipment.
Woodworking?
Woodworking. We have a giant wood shop.
I actually had a tour.
Oh,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah,
we have a lot of capabilities for, you know, cross-pollinating the different types of work together.
And is instruction available for people, not in terms of just how to operate the equipment, but actually if you have a goal of creating something, is there somebody that can help you sort of figure out, you know, how to use a CAD system to do a design or anything?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we had a CAD class on Sunday, this previous Sunday. We run many courses. In fact, it's one of our revenue streams to keep our doors open. We teach, we like to reach out to kids, especially high school, middle school kids, to teach them different things, how to work with their hands, how to print with a 3D printer. In fact, this next week, we're going to have some kids from a charter school come in, break up into groups of three. There's 12 students in total. Some will work in the metal shop doing a little bit of welding and bending metal and making things that they can actually bring with them. And as part of this English class that they're doing, they can write about it. So we're trying to collaborate a lot with the schools and the community and reaching out and helping in the community as well.
So I might finally be able to make that ashtray that I never got to make in shop.
Sure.
That?
Come on down.
We'll Great.
But the key thing about tying that together with the English class and making and all of that is that you excite kids about making something, and then you get back to the fundamentals of the math and the engineering and the writing, and how do you write the specifications, and then even creative writing about it. Maybe write a poem about it, you know, because it's real and it's exciting. It's not an abstract thing from a book.
Exactly.
I'm really intrigued with what you said that it was Portsmouth, that they're really trying to service the artistic community. And this seems to offer a new dimension in terms of how somebody could be creative in terms of, you know, designing or, you know, using, you know, machine augmented art creation, sort of an interesting concept there.
Well, and in the same way that a lathe and a CNC machine is expensive, a kiln is expensive as well. So a different process, but having access to those materials, even if you could afford them, to say, I don't even know if I like it. You know, I want to just try it. I want to meet some other people who are creative as well and, you know, and have that organic experience that before you invest in something and go work in your garage, which is a whole different process.
And is the ambition to find people that will then launch companies, or do you think that what you're doing is you're providing an outlet to the community who want to do, you know, personal-oriented projects or maybe create some art? I mean, don't you address that? It's like, you know, here's a resource. All are welcome.
I think it's both. So you start at a very basic level with, I just want to see if I want to try this and see if I like it. And then before I invest in the equipment, I want to gather with other people in that creative space. And then maybe I do want to do this for a living. Maybe I do want to develop a job skill that I can then take to another employer, or maybe I want to do it myself and go sell at the New Hampshire Expo, which is coming up next week. And, you know, that there's a lot of different possibilities with that first process, starting by walking in the door.
So how does it work? Typically, how does a makerspace work? Do you pay by the hour? Does anybody get to come and try it? Do they need training before they use the equipment? And
you buy your own supplies? How does it work?
How does it work?
Well, I'll address the membership part first. Each place does it a little bit different in terms of how much you pay every month, but there's generally a monthly fee. You can pay annually too, or quarterly. Manchester Makerspace, for example, is $65 a month, and that gets you 24/7 access using an RFID card. And once you are trained on the equipment, then you can have the equipment to use. You can also rent space in there, and if you have knowledge and you teach, you would like to teach, you can teach as well in the makerspace.
Where in Manchester are you located?
36 Old Granite Street, which is right across from the SNHU Arena.
Oh, sure.
It's got a very colorful door.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You're right.
Beautiful garage door, which, by the way, we had an art contest 2 years ago. We went out, reached out to the artist community and said, give us your ideas to paint our 12-foot high, 18-foot wide garage door. We had all kinds of applicants, and we chose one, James Chase, who is an NHIA instructor right now, and he painted those that door as well as the windows. Yeah, nice. Did a great job.
Yeah, it looks very good. So it runs on a membership, and is there a, you know, you've been in business now, I'll say you've been in business, you've been operational for
how long?
2 years. And tell me about the membership, how's it going?
Good. We have, I think, just over 50 members now.
Is that capacity or?
No, we can grow larger. In fact, we're getting a little cramped. We're sort of casually looking for another place to move into. We occupy 6,000 square feet. We have an option on the second floor for an additional 6,000. But, you know, we're keeping our options open.
And is it the weekends that are tend to be the busy time? Or?
Yeah, weekends. We have open houses on Sunday between 1 and 3, and then on Monday nights 6 to 8. So there's generally a lot of people coming in, new people at that time. But members come at all different times, but people work usually standard 9 to 5, 5 days a week. So we see them more in the evenings and on the weekends.
And do you have a website associated with that particular facility? Would you tell us what that is?
Sure. It's www.manchestermakerspace.org. Very simple.
Great. Great. And now you're not quite open in.
Oh gosh, we're a long way from being open. We're still in the idea stage and working with the community to figure out what people want. And we don't have a location yet. We're just at the very beginning of the process.
But Concord's such a natural place to have one because I think of Concord as being, you know,
a lot of crafts up there.
Art Center. They have the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very art-oriented community, and we've worked hard to develop that culture in Concord, especially downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And now for both of you, are you looking for volunteers?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you are somebody who likes to make things and has maybe some experience in making,
welding, woodworking,
get in touch
things
with
like
Laura
that.
Laura or Steve.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Feel free to visit our website. You can contact us through the website. You can join through the website.
Oh, good.
And Laura, how would they reach you if they're up a little bit north of here and closer to Concord?
So we also have a website that has a subscription list and a survey, actually, so people can go on and tell us what they're looking for without coming to meetings or anything quite yet. It's makingmattersnh.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we're definitely eager to have anyone who wants to help, even people who don't consider themselves makers yet, but might be interested in helping the process and spreading the word are very welcome.
That's wonderful. You know, Don is good at making something.
Trouble, I heard.
Exactly. You don't want him helping you. No.
So the other thing that we're doing a little bit differently than some of the other spaces in Concord is that we really want to have a commercial kitchen attached to our makers.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, there's definitely a need for that in our area, and that's for both for caterers and for potential food makers. We have a really large farming community, an organic farming community, and there's some capacity there to expand that season through food production. But because we're a large enough community, they need a commercial kitchen. We also really want to tie that into the makerspace and have events and have that natural tie-in with food. Everybody loves to come out for food. In Concord, we also have a large New American community, and so we want to give them business-making opportunities as well. And
that is so
valuable.
Tie it
all together. Yeah.
It's really valuable because some of the New Americans, they're women, and they're very good cooks. They bring their native cuisine. But yet, don't know how to really bring it to the marketplace. There's no way to do that.
Right. And it's a natural learning opportunity. So you have that, that business growth, language learning, cultural diversity, exploration,
sense
all of that
sense of community.
Stuff. Absolutely.
So there again, if somebody is a chef and is interested in getting involved and doing some give back to the community, they could reach out to Laura.
Yeah.
There's a hole in the, there's always been kind of a gap in New Hampshire for commercial kitchen space for people who make food to sell. And I know some cities or towns allow you to do it out of your home, but a lot of cities and towns don't. So I think it'd be so valuable, you know, to develop a kitchen space where people can go and start manufacturing, if you will, their
recipes. Yeah, and people can
recipes.
Come and just eat, too.
Yeah, why is everyone looking at me?
Stop. How about some of the softer, you know, Steve mentioned welding, CRC machines.
CNC.
Oh. What about some of the softer skills like knitting? Is that considered
knitting,
making?
Textiles. Jewelry making. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have a pottery space so we could have a glass kiln as well as a pottery kiln. I mean, it all depends on the space that we start with, what we build first.
Do you have a board? I mean, what I didn't ask you is, are you set up as a for-profit business or are you set up as a nonprofit, or how does that work?
Well, Manchester Makerspace is a nonprofit. We are a corporation registered as a nonprofit in the state as well as at the federal level.
Okay.
And so, Concordville as well.
So you have a board?
Yes, and we have a board of directors. Mm. We have 6 board members. All are a bunch of geeks.
Right. Who like to make stuff.
We love
Who
to make stuff.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, the board sets some of the agenda as to what are the services that will be provided and...
Oh, well, sure. The board will oversee all of the aspects of the operation. Mm-hmm.
But it also sounds like you're very sensitive to the communities. I mean, even what you said in the introduction, how there's a different flavor to each one of the sites, it's reflecting the interests of the community.
Absolutely.
Right? So you're talking about, you know, more crafty kind of things, perhaps in Concord, more artistic things in Portsmouth, more engineering or hard science things down in Manchester. I'm assuming Nashua may be the same. Yeah. So, I mean, that's great because, the marketplace is telling you what you should be doing and people will gravitate to those and anybody can go anywhere. So if it turns out that, you know, you live in Bedford, but your interests happen to be more on the artistic side, just go to, you know, if you want to take the drive, go to the site.
Join Manchester and help them shape their new space.
Oh, better said. Nicely said.
Well, I'm wondering if between all these spaces, and I'm guessing that it's not just New Hampshire that these maker spaces are cropping up. I'm guessing it's a trend.
National movement.
It's a national movement.
International movement, absolutely. Yeah, there are, well, I think this all started out west in Silicon Valley and kind of spread throughout the country and now throughout the world. And it seems like everybody wants a maker space and everybody's calling their little workshop a maker space now.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, even a school, universities have rooms with tools, 3D printers and things, and they call them maker spaces.
Well, we have here in Bedford the Stephen Buswell Community Center that they're trying to get up and running, and that is going to be designated. It'll be a partial maker space in there as well. And they're already in discussions with the high school to be able to bring classes over. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Do you have linkages to any of the schools where you're advertising this to the students in high school or in community colleges to come and do things?
Well, I can address that. We don't have formal linkages at this time, but over the past couple of years, we've reached out to a number of local schools, both public as well as charter schools and homeschoolers. We have members who are homeschoolers as well. And the obvious advantage is that we have the equipment that most people would not be able to afford, and many charter schools don't have the ability to purchase equipment like that. As a matter of fact, next in early April, we are hosting a group of students from Pace Academy up in Pembroke to come in and work for 3 hours. And it's part of an English class, but there's a curriculum around it, and we're going to teach them how to make some stuff.
And was it grants that got you going? How did you get your initial funding to launch the
Our initial funding came from both corporate grants as well as from other nonprofits.
Very good. By the way, you're listening to Business IQ Radio here on 105.1 WBNH in Bedford. And our guests today are Laura Miller and Steve Korzenowski. Am I pretty close there?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
And, of course, my co-host here, Andrea O'Brien with the Small Business Development Group.
And we're talking about makerspaces.
Makerspaces,
so,
exactly right.
Right. And, you know, my kids don't make anything at all. And I think they would be a lot, I mean, they're not unhappy, but there's something that you, you know, you lose yourself in making something with your hands. And I won't say it's a lost art because I have two people right in front of me who are makers, but it's something that I think we owe it to future generations to pass down.
I'm actually going to disagree with you a little bit in the sense that I think what's happening, I'm noticing that among the upcoming generations that they're more visual than I was. So maybe they're able to imagine, and now there are tools that let you take what you visualize and make it tangible. And so that's a little bit of the connection that I see. And because as you say, I mean, I'm as handy as two left feet. I can't do anything. I need help changing a light bulb. But my kids are much better at drawing or, you know, constructing things.
That's great.
And I think and they're more visual because that's how they interact. You know, we interact with the world through text and things like this. They're interacting in a different way. That's why so many people rely on videos running. And I was going to ask that, are you into that aspect as well in terms of filmmaking and things of that nature? Is that a possibility?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We have a friend, one of our members, Jesse, who went to school for audio and video production. And he has he's put together this visual arts studio with a camera and, you know, recording equipment and that sort of thing. So we're trying to document lots of the projects that are going on in the space. And he's building a car and he's putting on his website, which is called Driven Daily. So, yeah.
And Andrea has a lot of free time, so she'd come over and do a radio show session for people.
We could just go and interview people and see what they're... So what are you working on today?
Kind of thing. Exactly. Did you want to add
something? No, I was going to say, Andrea told me that she actually wants to learn how to use a lathe.
Oh,
I do. I don't think
I know what a lathe is, but I know to stay away from the building that day. keep my hands and my fingers close to my body and walk around protective equipment.
So I remember growing up and girls had home ec, okay, and boys had shop. Is that still how it is today? Does anybody know?
I can't remember. It's
far back. I don't think there's home ec anymore, right?
Sure, there's culinary arts in the vocational programs, okay. Absolutely. But they're not as gender normed as they used to be. I think more girls are using power tools and more boys are learning how to be in the kitchen in those programs than when we went to school, which is a good thing. The whole STEM education is very powerful now, but if you add art to that, you change the equation to STEAM, and that powers the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certainly a lot of STEM going on at the makerspace, right? Although it's not formal, it's not a formal education, it's really the applied piece, would you say?
Well, it's not book learning necessarily. It's, not, right. It's hands-on learning some book supplements and technical instructions.
I have to say that it's very therapeutic. I think people go to these places and just sort of tuck away in the back of the room and make something out of wood or metal. And, you know, it's quiet. It's peaceful. You can make things and you have this sense of satisfaction afterwards where you finish something and you can look at it and maybe it's practical or maybe it's just beautiful and you want to put it on the wall. This can be very therapeutic. I get lost in myself when I go make something, either at home or at the makerspace.
Well, yeah, and I mentioned these people in Omaha that gave me an opportunity to see their site. And one of the most popular projects people had was they would make chess set pieces, and they would actually have a competition where they would put them on display. So you're right. What starts out as something that you want to produce, because you're proud of it, you want to show it off.
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I went to the Manchester Makerspace, there's a life-size, you know, as tall as me.
Horse head?
Is it a rook? No, not a rook.
It looks like a chess piece.
It's a knight. It does look like a chess piece.
The rook is the castle.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
Chainsaw art.
He did
chainsaw. Oh, my goodness.
It was my first attempt at chainsaw art. 3 tanks of gas, and 3 hours later, I have a horse head.
So as a side question, do you do that in ice as well? Have you ever tried ice sculpting?
No.
Oh, we should start a competition in Manchester.
That would be a great fun thing to do. We should do a maker fair in Manchester.
We should.
I think you
That's
should
a great
do.
Idea.
You know what? You should hide. Have people make stuff and hide it all over the city.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
And then
go find it.
A scavenger hunt. Or they have, what do they call it, where they have the little... locations that you have to go
and
geocaching, right?
That would be
a geocache. That'd be a great fun thing to do.
That would be really fun. It's a great idea.
So we're giving birth to ideas here, just like that. Look at that. We're stimulated by the creativity of a makerspace.
So, you know, there's a website called The Grommet, which, you know, I don't want to promote them or anything. I'm just saying the whole premise for this online store is it's different than Etsy, because Etsy is a bunch of little stores. This is one platform where if you're a maker and you want to sell your thing, your gizmo or gadget or product, they make it, you know, they make it very attractive. You don't have to do all the work of formulating a marketing plan. You know, the Grommet does all the marketing for you. And they've increased, you know, they've increased their, not membership, but the amount of offerings by a tremendous amount. And I wonder if, you know, people that in New Hampshire make stuff like that, if there's, you know, would there be a store maybe located in the makerspace? Do you think there'd be some kind of little outlet where...
Well,
open house, yeah.
You gave me a great opportunity to say that my shop in Concord is called Marketplace New England, and we started the shop with the intention that it would be fully involved in the makerspace when it existed. So it's pretty easy to start a retail store. It's kind of hard to start a nonprofit and get it funded and make it a community organization. Right. So eventually we do hope that a market will be part of the makerspace in Concord.
That's great.
Store is a natural conduit for the next piece, maybe.
Right. And we already have that online platform in the website that already exists. So it does kind of flow naturally to support that as well.
What do you expect, and maybe Steve is the best guy to answer this, what is the makeup of your membership? Because you have about 50. Are they older people? Are they mid-age? Do you have a lot of young people? And what do you expect? Is that... From what you know about the other makerspaces, is it typical, or do they vary, again, based on uniquenesses of communities?
Age-wise, we have, I think probably the average age is 40-ish. Never done statistical analysis on it, but I'm finding that there are people who are younger, who have families, they have homes, they want to be able to make things for their homes. Also, retired people. People who have downsized, who used to have workshops, but now are living in apartments because it's less expensive.
That's a great observation, yeah.
Yeah, so they want to come to the makerspace to continue working on projects and use the woodworking equipment.
Yeah, my wife is very handy. As I am not handy, she is incredibly handy and can make all kinds of things. And one of the things that she regrets is that, you know, we're going to downsize at some point. She's going to lose her worker shop. So what you're saying holds the future opportunity for her to be able to find a way through that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, she has access to a community, and that collaborative piece that is good at a makerspace, because you have all sorts of different people doing cross-pollination. You know, someone wants to paint furniture, somebody else makes furniture. You've got a great partnership there.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not just about space. It's about having that network of people who are also creative, because that just makes you more excited about getting in there and making something else.
Okay, so that, I'm glad you said that, because until you said that, I think my non-stated impression was this was an individual activity. You're telling me that there is the opportunity for this to be much more of a community-oriented activity. So, sure. Very, very good. Go ahead. You had a question? Go ahead.
I do. I wanted to ask, we have a little technical difficulty.
Hello. Yes. I wanted to ask Laura and Steve if they've heard of Hannah Grimes and the things, Hannah Grimes is an incubator.
Right.
But I think isn't there a retail space?
There is.
A marketplace?
Yep.
And there, is that a nonprofit out there in Keene?
I think the incubator is. I don't believe
the store is.
Oh, okay. Because it's...
Yeah, what will happen is, you know, if you have a flow of goods, they'll find an outlet. Mm-hmm. And they'll find people like Laura and others.
And it's nice to be able to touch them as a shopper.
Right.
You don't want to just go on an Etsy store. I'm not dissing Etsy. I'm just saying it's nice to be able to hold something and get a feel for what you're buying.
Right. Try it on, taste it, all sorts of different interactions.
And what kind of inquiries are you getting? Are people making inquiries about the Concord location yet, Laura?
So we're just at the beginning stages of trying to do that marketing push to get people who are interested in. We have another meeting coming up on the 9th of April. And I think we have about 20 people signed up to kind of come and learn more and volunteer. We've had a fair amount of answers to the survey and people saying, yeah, I'm excited. This is what I do. This is what I offer. And so, yeah, people are really excited about
it. I think I'm going to put Andrea on the spot here and say that the more I hear about this, it seems like a real natural for you guys to work with the incubators in the state. And she and her organization can help make an introduction to the people running those. I really think that if you went and made a presentation to the people that are there, some number of those folks would jump at the opportunity to come in, begin doing prototyping and things of that nature in your facilities. So
Amy Rodman on our staff covers the Concord area, and she'd be a great contact. And
Alpha Loft here, you can maybe help them get an introduction to the Alpha Loft.
I think you know the Alpha Loft.
Yeah, we know the Alpha Loft folks. Yeah. They're familiar with us.
You know, you should have a wine and cheese reception.
I like that idea. Sure.
You know, and then invite the dignitaries.
We'll cover it as a news event.
And have the aldermen come in, Steve, and toured the facility yet? And
Our aldermen came in before there was a change, but that's a good idea. I think we should have
the mayor. Has the mayor visited?
Not the new one. Not yet. We have to get the new mayor in.
Yep. And also all the economic development folks, CRDC. Yeah.
So we were going through the sort of getting started and we got sidetracked. So there's a monthly membership fee. I assume people pay for their supplies. Is that also true?
In our space, we provide, for example, in the 3D printers, we have a stock that people can use if they want to print something small. But when it comes to a large print, like this person is printing a large suit, printing an entire bodysuit for a human that can go into cosplay.
Wow. What did you just say?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what cosplay is?
No.
Okay. The people that go to comic book conferences and dress up.
Oh, like Comic-Con or?
Yeah, that's it. Right.
They call it cosplay when they dress up. So they have competition.
A cosplay costume just takes a lot of material, so we ask that they buy their own.
What kind of suit is he making?
I'm not really sure.
But you can imagine like an Iron Man or something
Spider-Man
like that.
Spider-Man or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Wonder Woman.
Whatever.
Okay.
Sure. A lot of latex.
Yeah, so that would require a lot of material.
A lot of material. Jesse, who's building the car, you know, he's purchased a lot of steel to build the frame and the support structure and that sort of thing. So,
can somebody bring their car there and work on it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this coming weekend, a person has bought a minibus and they're renovating it and they're going to put it in our bay and go inside and renovate, you know, put a microwave in and a table and, you know, all the stuff that they're going to make at the makerspace.
Yeah, gee, it sounds like one of the volunteers that you all should have is someone who is a photographer, comes by and documents a lot of this, because that would be great for your Facebook or website to show the projects and show the evolution. You know, this is what we started with, this is what we ended with, and here's the intermediate stages.
It would be a great story.
A photographer is actually a great example of that barter, kind of growing each other's businesses way that any kind of maker can work with another maker. So an emerging photographer could offer their services to an emerging maker, and then as they both develop their skills, you know, then you need a label person, then you need a pricing person, marketing person. So it's all a little ecosphere of collaboration that helps everybody grow.
So you've spoken a lot about the production element of it. Is there any thought given to helping people, especially if they want to start a second career or something, getting the business skills to be able to do this?
Well, our plan is to work with existing resources like SBDC, like SCORE.
That's the right answer, by the way.
Yeah, and it's the right answer no matter what. So because those resources are out there and we have economic director in Concord who's burning the bushes trying to get new companies to come into town. And, you know, using all of those resources, incubator resources, our local banks are on board to help us out for small capital and help being one place for people to get started and find all those different resources. Why reinvent the wheel? Those, but it's hard to find them, first of all, if you don't know where you're looking and you want to just get started. But it also helps to have somebody working at the at that micro level of I'm just getting started. I'm not ready for Alpha Loft. I'm not ready for, you know, to rent my own space. I'm starting at a smaller level and have that community to support them.
And you have facilities to host small classrooms or groups like that if people want to come in?
We will.
That's great. Great. And in Manchester, do you have such facilities?
Yes, we have three classrooms. And last week we ran a computer-aided design course for some students using Autodesk software, Fusion 360. Mm-hmm. So we plan to have some more of those as well.
Yeah. Terrific stuff. What is your next project, Andrea?
Well, I was going to ask you, what was the first thing you ever made? Do you remember? Do you ever remember? Like, were you a Boy Scout? No, we know you weren't a Boy Scout.
No, I was. But, I grew up in New York City. I was.
Yeah. But
I was a street rat. So
I used to make. So I used to take cereal boxes and make cities. You know, cut out little doors. Sure. With whatever you had, right?
Sure.
You made stuff with whatever you could find.
Sure, sure. Kids love having boxes put together, right? Make mm-hmm. little things. Make little forts or something out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff. So do you have a project in mind?
Well, I did get a beautiful set of brand new lathe tools, and I didn't know they were beautiful. Like, they're probably 50 years old, never been used. They were my father's, and I thought they were chisels, and I tried to sculpt a large mushroom from a pine stump I had in my yard. But you cannot chisel wet pine. It just doesn't,
kind of,
you know.
It falls apart.
It falls apart. It's terrible, terrible. And then someone told me that those weren't chisels. Those were lathe, you know. So I'm going to.
Shaping, yeah.
But what can you make on a lathe?
Besides a
stool leg.
Well, lathes are made for turning spindles and mm-hmm. things that are round. You can make a bowl, a round bowl. Table legs. You can make a candlestick holder. I think we're going to put some of the kids on them next week. Candlestick holders.
So that brings up, you know, the topic of safety, mm-hmm. and letting kids near what mm-hmm. I would perceive as being a very dangerous piece of equipment. But I'm sure it's not if you have the right training. But
well, we have some very small lathes you could probably hold with your hand and turn them. You know, make them stop.
Okay.
So those are very safe.
But that's
still
good.
If you have a small piece, you can still make some really nice stuff out of it. We have a lady who is selling pens at our makerspace, and she's turning hardwood on the small lathes, making writing pens.
Interesting. As I think about this, you mentioned welding as one of the areas. There's a shortage of people who know how to do welding in the country, and there are some businesses.
Boy, is there ever.
That are very dependent on this. And so from an economic development standpoint, it would seem to me that this could play an important role in terms of helping the next generation. You know, we're all looking to solve this problem by having a farm team, right? We want, if only the technical college in my area or the technical high school would teach welding, you know, we could use some summer interns every year, and if they work out, we'll hire them, and on and on and on. And I'm guessing that, you know, this whole feeder system could be really a powerful economic development tool.
Sure, and I think Manchester Community College is a feeder system for the company I work for. We are a welding company, a custom metal fabrication company, and it's a challenge finding young talent. As far as makerspace goes, I think we could provide inspiration to some young people, middle school and mm-hmm. high schoolers, just to come in and spend, maybe an hour tacking together a couple pieces of metal, making a little something that they can bring home and say, I did this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested. You're going to see me. I'm going to show up because I always wanted to learn how to do welding.
Yeah, come on over.
One of my list of things to get
done. I'll go over if you go over.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go over, we'll make something.
Okay.
Sunday, right. 1 o'clock. We'll, come on out.
Yeah, we'll keep you, we got to keep you away from the equipment based on your interpretation of what a lathe is versus a chisel. Maybe we'll keep you out of the woodworking shop. It's too dangerous.
Extra training.
Oh, I know. Two left hands.
And now, is this, so you've mentioned that, you know, there are several, and of them, it sounds like, Laura, yours is the newest one for the state that's developing. Where do you see this going? What's the future of this? Will these pop up eventually in every community? Will they be part of the school system? Are there any forecasts about, you know, where this all goes?
You want to tackle that one?
Go ahead.
You know, I think that part of what's happening is that makerspace is a very sexy term right now, and people are excited about putting a bunch of tools in a room and saying, there you go, there's your makerspace in schools and libraries. And what needs to happen is that they need to be staffed by people who are creative, who are excited about teaching and get the kids excited about learning. So you can't just put the tools in the room and say, there you go. So a community maker space then has all of that energy and that that drive to inspire kids and adults to be creative, to just try something and try it without failure being a consequence. You can just try it. And if you don't like it, okay, we'll try the next thing. And you're still being creative. And maybe you don't want to use a lathe.
Right. And you're not being graded or marked, so there's no judgment. You can actually take a risk and not feel that you are going to fail at something.
Right. And people who are creative types love to teach. So they want to share that expertise. They want to help somebody else get that passion for, I mean, electronics and welding and all of that kind of stuff. It's the same with pottery and jewelry making. People love to share their craft.
Is that something that you have or you anticipate jewelry making up there?
In the Concord space, yes, we definitely have a group of people that are more interested in that kind of softer craft textiles and jewelry making.
They'll bring their own gold and silver, I assume.
Yeah. But sometimes it's just using vintage materials, too.
So, oh, yeah,
and recycling,
comment.
Repurposing, that's a huge drive.
Very
just look
comment.
At all the DIY channels on television now and flipping houses.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And what's the show that people are making knives, and now everybody wants to play with blacksmithing equipment, and, you know,
right.
And it's because somebody inspired you to do that. And, yeah, I can try that. And in a makerspace, you can try that without fear of failure and judgment. And it's all about encouragement.
Wow.
To your question about where we see the maker movement going, there are people who are studying this. There's a gentleman by the name of Peter Hirschberg. He and two other authors got together and wrote a book called The Maker City. And he discusses all the different aspects of the maker movement and how maker spaces are being tied into economic development, the local government, the universities, et cetera, because, you know, really it's an ecosystem, and it includes government, it includes business, it includes just the hobbyists. And often the hobbyist comes up with the idea, becomes successful. I mean, look at Stephen Jobs. Look at those guys that were sitting in their garages making computers 30 years ago.
How about Dean Kamen?
And Dean Kamen, here, mm-hmm. a local boy. Mm-hmm. Import from New York, but still, we call him a local.
We
claim him.
Nothing wrong with New York boys. And is robotics something that you guys are looking at? Do you have any efforts going on in that area?
In Manchester, we were looking at purchasing of robotics kits.
Nice.
And, you know, teaching kids using a standard platform like VEX. We're in that process, kind of looking at things.
And Andrea will tell you what I want you to build. Drones.
Drones. Thank you.
We've done some shows where we've talked about the potential, and they hold tremendous economic promise for the state.
We had four of them in our makerspace last night.
Terrific.
We have a guy, a member, who's the drone guy. He's got several of them.
And I'm definitely showing up.
Yeah.
definitely showing up. So, Laura, when do you anticipate you'll be opening?
Oh, well, we are at least a year to two before we have open doors, but we're just at the beginning process.
So if you were, would I say it's too early for you to really be recruiting people? Are you looking to recruit at the end of the summer?
No, we're recruiting now for volunteers. You know, we're not ready for members.
No, 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 sure.
Membership
yeah.
yet. But yeah. For people who are excited.
Faculty
who
in some sense.
Yeah, people who want to shape the space because it will be driven by the people who participate. Absolutely.
I have to say that I'm very impressed by the level of, I don't want to say passion, but of interest and commitment that you both show.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, here, you've actually brought it to fruition. It's open. It's running in Manchester. And you're telling me it's, you know, between 1 to 2 years, this is going to be a steady push of networking. And it's like that, you know, gathering a little head of steam or that snowball that starts to roll down the hill and gets bigger and bigger. And finally, it's huge.
Right.
And I just think it's amazing how you stay focused and passionate to bring it to fruition. So thank you both.
Yeah, and as you go forward, please look upon us as a resource. You're both nonprofits, and so we're able to help you put PSAs together, public service announcements. So if you have events coming up, we'll try to publicize them for you.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you come back. It might be fun to, you know, at some point in time, we may ask you, gee, do you have any really unusual projects like the cosplay costume? Sounds like it could be a lot of fun. And come back and tell us about some of the unusual things that that people are making, you know. So
sure. Yeah. Well, we have an electric bike project right now. We're turning a bicycle into an electric bike.
That's cool. Have you ever ridden one?
An electric bike or a bicycle?
Well, is it both? I mean, does it go
both?
Yeah. It alternates on and off.
So if you run out of battery, you just use your legs.
Yeah, the closest I've come to the little mopeds they have down in Bermuda. That's about the closest I've come to anything like that. So, again, please tell us a little bit about if people want to reach you, how do they reach you? And you're looking for people of all types, all skills, and just come and talk to you, and you'll find some way for them to make a contribution, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Right? Right, so Laura, do you want to maybe start off again? Tell us that's the best way to reach you guys.
Yep. So in Concord, we are website at www.makingmattersnh.org, or people can reach me at my shop 5-6 days a week at Marketplace New England, and that's both in Concord and on the web.
All right, and that's Laura Miller that mm-hmm. they will ask for. Very,
yep.
very good. And Steve?
And ManchesterMakerspace.org is the website that people can go to find out more information as well as pay for a membership. We are inviting everyone to come every Sunday and every Monday. Sundays from 1 to 3 is our open house, and Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. is an open house. We always have somebody there to show you around, so please come.
Well, that's just really terrific. Very, very interesting what you're doing. And thank you for your contribution to the community and to the economy. And mm-hmm. to, you know, this is some of the best part about New Hampshire, are people like you guys doing this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So,
well, thank you.
Well, on that note, we're coming here to the end of the show. And so as we do each week, we turn to Andrea to see if she has any sage advice.
I have words
for
of wisdom.
Our listeners.
I do.
Do you have some words for the listeners here on 105.1 WBNH?
I do. Thank you all for listening. And remember,
you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.